Welcome to the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. I'm Sirte Pihlaja, your host, the CEO at Shirute and the CXP Finland head of team. In this series, we explore how artificial intelligence is reshaping customer and employee experiences, addressing the innovations, ethical questions, and strategies essential for navigating the world of artificial intelligence. Join us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe to follow us on your favorite platform. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the AI Experience from Basics to Breakthroughs. My name is Sirte Pihlaja, and I am your host. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Mari Ekund, who leads the development of business communication solutions at DNA's corporate business division. Mari has a wealth of experience in how artificial intelligence can be applied meaningfully to customer experience, not just as a tool for communication, but as a way to genuinely enhance human interaction. In this episode, we're diving into what it really takes to implement AI in a human-centered way, looking beyond technology into culture, leadership, and lived experiences within organizations. Mari, welcome to the podcast. So, Mari, to start us off, how did you become interested in the intersection of artificial intelligence and customer experience?
Well, I have been working with IT and software practically my whole career. And now that I'm working with DNA in B2B business, this is kind of a really natural way of developing customer experience further. We have been studying AI for different use cases, and it seems that the most kind of easy to use and practical use cases in this time come from customer service and customer experience area.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us maybe a little bit about your current role at DNA and what your team focuses on in terms of business communications, and what are you doing in AI?
Yes, my responsibility area is in B2B, so business customers. And my responsibilities is in communication solutions that includes all data and mobile connectivity, but also customer care solutions and AI solutions related to those areas. So what we have been discussing with customers during this year, for example, is that AI is very blurry to the customers that are thinking how to use it in business, how to enhance their own processes. There are so many different options, there are so many different use cases and so many different tools. So our customers have approached us to productize this, to make them something tangible, something concrete that they can take in use immediately and get immediate benefits. And that is how we more or less we have been developing AI internally in quite many processes. But towards the customers, we have been focusing on at this point at enhancing the customer experience, because that's where we see that there is a lot of demand and a lot of use cases that can actually bring a lot of good benefits.
Can you maybe talk a little bit more about those use cases? I heard you have something called real-time voices or something like that. That was
yes.
For translations, I believe.
Yes, and we have different solutions for different target groups, because customer experience is important to each and every company, regardless of your size, for example. Many companies think that the AI brings benefits to the large companies, but in fact, the benefits are there for smaller companies as well. If we go to the kind of real use cases in SME, for example, the AI in customer service, it brings 24/7 reachability. It brings, like you said, translation, but the availability for all different languages that you can imagine. So the customer gets it gets service, and there are answers to the questions 24/7. On whatever language they prefer to use. So that is a huge benefit at such for the small companies as well. And on the large side, it's more like bringing AI as an assistant the customer service agent, so that the end-to-end processes are seamlessly handled by the agents that are AI agents and also human agents. So the end-to-end process flows seamlessly from AI to person to AI to person, whatever is required to solve the question question that is to be handled.
If we switch to AI in everyday work and implementing AI in customer experience, what would you say that, what does it really look like on a day-to-day level, for instance, when you do that for your own company?
I start with the governance, because that's a big topic in today's companies. There is two ways of doing this. It used to be like bring your own AI type of work, so everyone was inventing how to do this. But then large companies realized, and we have been doing this from the very beginning, that you need the governance. You need to understand what tools the companies are using, what are they using for it for, what's the data that is being used. And for example, in DNA, we have this AI board that evaluates each and every AI solution that we are using internally or externally, if we are using it ourselves or bringing it to our customers. So this AI board evaluates. There are security experts, there are technical architects, there are people from regulatory team and from business, for example, legal. And this board evaluates each and every solution that we use so that it's secure, it follows the regulation, and it's kind of a fully thought through. So that is something that needs to be there today. Because you need to understand what are you using it for, what are the use cases, what is the data being used, how is the regulation and over this changing, because it's changing and evolving all the time. So that is what we are today, but we need to do it in such way that we are bringing new solutions to the markets and to our own use really quickly and efficiently. So you need to kind of combine quick way of working and really, really kind of seamless operations, but on the other hand, verify that the solutions that you're using are secure and right for the use that they are planned for. But
introducing artificial intelligence certainly isn't just about technology. It requires a whole mindset shift in the organization. How have you led this kind of transformation inside of DNA? From the cultural side of things.
Yes, we are offering tools and trainings, so that is available for everyone. There are different kind of trainings available. As you probably know, DNA is part of Telenor. This is a Nordic group of companies. So we have our own trainings available, but also from the Nordic side. So we have a huge amount of understanding in the group that we are trying to share. And on the other hand, we have chosen different focus areas where we have actually leads, kind of focus area leads who are leading that focus area further. It can be like AI in customer service. It can be AI in sales process. It can be different kind of pillars that are using AI. And then we have a person who leads that focus area further and owns that and gets the right people around that topic. So we are actually choosing focus areas and focusing to build those further as fast as possible.
Right. Are these team leads or these people in this leadership roles, are they both looking at the internal and then the customer facing processes, like, you know, support communication?
They are more or less working together, so they share information. But we have separated internal and external process owners, so they are actually different people, but they are working seamlessly together. For example, we are using AI in our own customer service a lot, in many different use cases, And when we are using it ourselves, we know what works and what doesn't work. And for example, this real-time voice that you mentioned is something that we tested ourselves first, and then we productized it to the customers to use. So the customer side and our internal processes actually benefit from each other. When someone builds something, then we can verify it for a larger audience.
Coming back to my original question about the cultural side of things and like employee experiences, what kind of reactions have you seen from your employees when you have introduced AI? I mean, there certainly must be some common fears or concerns, and how do you address those at DNA?
Making it very open. That is one thing. We talk about really openly about everything, and we share experiences. But you're correct. First, people are sometimes a bit skeptic, and but on the other hand, they are really curious. That is part of kind of a DNA's culture, that people are actually pretty curious about several new things, and they want to know how world works and how new things work, and that is somehow built in our company. So people are eager to try. And when you try something and you realize that, hey, this works, this makes my day easier. It allows me to do things more smoothly. Then the buying comes. So we are trying to share experiences as openly as possible in different kind of info sessions and teams, and share the good experiences, but also share the ones that didn't fly. Because when you try something, so there are always experiences that are really good success, and then there are things that are not flying so well. So we share both, so people can learn from each other's trials and benefit from the successes.
You've certainly spoken a lot about this importance of an experimentation culture. What kinds of what would I say, like necessities do you need to have in place, like structurally in the organization, for that to be able to kind of share these practices to everybody? And do you have a tool set of AI tools that people can experiment with or use in their everyday work? How have you kind of worked step by step in the process of introducing these things into DNA?
Yes, first of all, this AI board approves all the tools. So we are not using whatever, wherever, but the tools are more or less
So
verified.
no, bring your own AI in this case,
No,
even if it's experimentation. Very
yes,
good.
because we are working with confidential data, of course, especially in customer service and development and everywhere. So we have basically a Copilot that is this basic tool that anyone can use, and that is a basis that most of the people kind of start experimenting. So you have something common that you can ask from your team member or your coworker, that how did you do this, and I have this huge amount of Excels that I need to analyze. That what did you do with that? So when you have this common platform, then everyone can share experiences. And then we have a Teams group as well, where people actually share practical experiences, how they have built simple agents, how they are analyzing massive data amounts, and how they are, for example, creating PowerPoints from several different data sources, and really kind of a practical everyday experiments are shared. And on the other hand, we have these for example, customer care or customer service related AI tools that are totally different, that are designed for that purpose, for large companies, for smaller companies, and those experiences we are sharing among that target group. So among those people who are developing AI solutions for that use, or using them internally for that use. And for that, we have different teams that are sharing experiences, but also we are trying to openly share. We have these business info sessions and all kind of sessions that are open for larger audience, and we are trying to share all the new ideas and developments that we are using in those kind of sessions. So people would be getting their own ideas. Hey, they did that, and then maybe we could do something like that in a different team, for example.
Thinking about the lessons learned here, what would you say is the biggest surprise or learning on your AI journey in customer experience that you've had?
I wouldn't say I'd have one big learning, but I have many smaller learnings. So try and try and try, because the first thing you do is never the best ever. For my first agents were not very good quality and didn't exactly do on the first trial what I imagined them to do. So when you start doing something, then just don't give up, but the AI will help you to develop it further. You can even ask it, what did I do wrong? Because I did this and I wanted that, but it didn't produce. So can you help me? So when you start this journey, you should kind of continue developing until you get the results that you want. And then sharing is caring in this case, especially not sharing only internally, but sharing with different peer groups, different companies, different people from in different roles. So, because this is at this point of time, there are many use cases that are really common, regardless of the company or the team that you are in. And there are many things that can be used, and it doesn't threat anyone. Of course, you can't share internal processes or anything like that, but kind of general use cases and what kind of use cases companies are using AI for, what tools they are using. And something that I've learned on the way is also this the power of productization. So when you are able to give others something that is productized, the security topics are considered, and then the regulatory topics are considered. It's so much the benefits come so much faster when you don't have to build everything from scratch.
Many a time, companies or organizations, when they start thinking about starting an AI journey, they always think, or always, but often think first about the technology, that what's the, I don't know, large language model that we need to put in place, what's the platform we're going to be running this on, and all of these technological issues. How have you tackled this problematic when you have been creating these, you said, productized services for your customers or even internally?
Talking with people and customers. So that is always under-evaluated. You can try to imagine some use case or try to imagine whatever in your own head. But when you go out and talk to people and talk to analysts and talk to different peer groups, then you figure out what is the real problem, what is the real need that you need to solve, and then the technology follows. And on the other hand, there are lots of companies that are utilizing good technologies already. So you might already have someone using something that is really feasible for you. And there are solution providers like ourselves that have several customers using AI solutions that we have provided for them. So here we have great insights about different companies, different use cases, different branches. So interview people, talk to people, and then make the decisions.
So start from the need and build the technology on top of that, and to as an enabler instead of a
Yes.
like sort of the main star of the exercise. I couldn't agree more with you on that one. Sort of like the main principle, first principle of customer experience management, begin with the customers and
Exactly.
their needs and hopes, so on. If you could go back to the beginning of your own AI journey at DNA, what would you do differently?
That's a really good question. Maybe do things even faster. So experiment even in the earlier phase with customers. So as early as you have something and you have some customers to experience with, or we can be our own internal customers, just try it, get the feedback and develop further. Not try to build the perfect solution from the beginning and then launch something perfect, but involve customers in early phase and design even more needs-based solutions faster, and get people from different backgrounds talking with each other more, because when there is always danger when you design purely from business or purely from technology, that you miss an angle. But when you combine, for example, regulatory people, legal, technical architects, and business, and put those people in the same room, you get the angles on the table faster rather than building something and then bring it to the table to be evaluated.
So in many aspects, this is AI is like any IT project as such, that you need to
Exactly.
involve all the people from the different silos and kind of get them to work together.
Yes, early enough.
Very good.
At least it makes easier things easier and faster.
Yeah, shifting gears here, if we're looking ahead towards the near future of AI. What does this look for in customer-facing roles? Say, I don't know, over the next 2 or 3 years. Maybe that's too far, but give it
Yeah,
a shot.
the development is going so fast that the 2 years is a long time, because now we have seen that the agents are the first agents appeared, AI agents. Then we are able now to combine seamlessly AI agents and then people and get really nice end-to-end flows, so that the AI does something and the person does something and then the AI does something and the flows are working, and we are getting really good feedbacks from from customers that are getting services faster. They are getting their problems solved faster, and they don't need to queue, and they can approach companies 24/7 with different languages. So there is so many good things on the table already. But and what is now kind of raising its head is the kind of different agents working seamlessly together, so that you need actually people, team leaders who are leading not only people but also these agents, and these teams need to work together seamlessly. Not only the process, but also the team that is combining people and agents, and the agents can be built from different technologies or and even different ecosystems. So this is more or less the next step, and what comes after that is to be seen, because all these steps have given so much already an efficiency point from kind of a ease of access point. And we have this multi-channels options you can choose to communicate with speech. And if you are not able to speak, you are able to chat, type, or send an email. And all this information from different channels is combined to the database, and companies are able to use this database. And what comes probably next as well, on top of these teams managing people and agents, is utilizing emotions. And I'm not saying this in a negative way, but a positive way, because AI brings the data on the table, but it and people can experience things in a different way. And when we are able to combine the data, what people are needing, and the emotion, how they are experiencing that their need was filled. And when we are able to combine these needs and these experiences, and then we are able to give these people that are managing customer service superpowers because they have all this need of this information available all the time, and they can combine what people are needing and how they are kind of what are their reactions and emotions related to those needs. So that will be a huge superpower in the future.
I certainly love that answer that you're talking about there. I have been talking myself a lot about how we shouldn't take like artificial intelligence just to do more efficiently the things or sell more in a sense, but rather use the time that we spare from giving all of this productivity gain, getting all of these productivity gains to servicing our customers and clients better. And be giving like a more humane touch to the customer encounters when we are actually in a human to human connection. And I certainly hope that is going to happen in the future. And why not now already?
Yes, yes, and yeah, I think so, because when you are able to automate the routines, then you have even more time to actually manage the human interactions when it's needed.
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of talk about the other thing that you mentioned, the future of work with AI agents by the side, that it's actually one of the themes for CX Masterclass as well, is that how are we going to be able to manage and lead teams that consist not only of humans, but also digital people, so these AI agents. And in some cases, you might even have like an AI agent as your boss. I know that there's a lot of research being done on this in both Haaga-Helia and then Hanken and Aalto University. And I was also even like interviewed for this book about where they were talking about getting like an AI boss. So that's certainly an interesting topic there. I mean, in some senses, it could be just like, you know, like for this platform, delivery platforms, that like Wolt or others, that they just, it's just like putting the schedules in place using AI. And in that sense, they're calling that also as having AI as your boss. But I don't know if it goes a step further from there, that what's going to happen to the employee experiences. That, do you have a take on that?
That's a really interesting thought. My thought goes in line with yours, that AI is excellent in building schedules and making timetables and work, kind of workforce planning, and it can actually take a lot of different angles and do things and changes really fast. So it can actually even more efficiently find out that you need to have vacation then and then, and someone else needs to pick up their children then and then, and it can really fast make the kind of workforce planning different scenarios. So in that way, it can be kind of a boss, and it can even take feedback and alter the timetables really efficiently. But what else can it be? Then that's the big question.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. Well,
yeah.
What kind of skills do you think that the frontline teams will need when these humans and AI are working even more closely together, side by side?
I think this will bring people, I call them superpowers, because when you are in a customer service, previously it was really useful to have someone really experienced sitting close to you, because if you're a new person in customer service, you of course naturally can't answer everything in a day one, and it was really useful to have someone who has worked there for 10 years close to you. You can ask for help. But now with AI, even the new people have all the help they need in their own screen. So getting in new people, getting them up to speed is a totally different thing with AI age, because the AI will suggest answers to the questions, solutions to the problems, and tell how this was answered previously and what solved this problem previously. So from day one, you have this huge superpower in your hands, even though you are not very experienced on the content yourself. So the ability to utilize this information and learn all the time is maybe the key, because as this evolves, there will be new features and functionalities. But in a good solutions, those are brought to you really in a human way. So the AI suggests you things and helps you and guides you on the way. So what people need to do in the future is kind of have a curious mind to be open to new things, to be open learning new things, and change is permanent like it always has been. So that is probably the key thing.
What about the customer side? You mentioned AI agents in kind of internal processes and automating these, but now the customers also get to have their own thinking machines on their side, so that they could just send them over to buy and shop for them. How do you see these contacts taking place, and has DNA done anything to kind of prepare for this rise of the machine customers?
That is something that is interesting, because interesting question, because I think that development is a bit slower, because the consumers are learning this in many different ways. There are different age groups, there are different backgrounds of people, so the consumers, they are in a very different level. They are using very different tools. So the kind of the machine buying, it will take time to realize. And the other side of the coin is companies that are purchasing things. Will there be like purchasing departments that are totally AI organized? That there's one person on the background and saying that we need to procure this and that, and then the AI will do the bidding process, for example. So that is something that is also probably to be seen. But when that happens, it will be crucial on security point of view to be able to identify that the AI or the person or whatever it is that is approaching you is legally kind of legally has legal rights to do so. And that is something that we need to solve on the way. For example, today in DNA, each and every customer is responded by AI when they call in. The first contact when you take contact, the response is from AI, because then you avoid all the queuing and all those annoying IVRs. You know, push one to speak Finnish and push two to be Swedish. We can eliminate all those, but AI will take you in and discuss you nicely and that who you are and verifies that you are kind of the right person to handle this topic, and then verifies what is your topic. So if there will be these AI buyers, so then the one topic that needs to be solved is the security and identification of the purchasing right.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of kind of initiatives going on already on the, not the KYC, which is know your customer, but the KYA, which is know your agent side of things. Mm-hmm. So just recently there was this new protocol that was introduced. Sounds very technological, but it's like 60 big of the biggest companies in this space already have started using that. And then on the other hand, ChatGPT came out with their own solution, this instant checkout, and their similar protocol, where now PayPal, for instance, yesterday they announced that they are already supporting this protocol. So there's like, I don't know, 800 million people now, they can have this transactional like chats with ChatGPT, for instance, where you actually have the instant checkout during the process.
Sure.
So that is like one way of seeing things, how to kind of make this AI purchasing or buying available on the consumer side.
That
but
is
then,
true. And then the consumer is in control of the process.
Yeah.
That is true, yes.
But like you said, ChatGPT or OpenAI, they introduced as the last of these big players their agent mode, which is then a sort of like an operator agent that is taking over your browser and then browses and shops with you, but you have to always put in your like credit card and your credentials and so on. But I think I must say that I'm a little bit more optimistic about this because there's so many announcements that we've had just during the last, say, month's time that I have been waiting for since 2020 something. So therefore, I'm having a lot of hopes that there's going to be lots of new things happening before this end of the year already in this space. But
And you might be
we'll
right
see.
because and you might be right because what we have seen is that when people are sharing experiences, then it starts to spread, and we will see how fast and in which countries are taking the lead, because there are also cultural differences between different countries. So I'm really curious about this area as well because because it will have an effect on the purchasing processes.
Yeah, it's my favorite topic to say the least. We did like about a year ago we did this piece of research into how digital assistants, or they weren't called AI agents at that point, but basically it's the same thing that we created this our own assistant who then had these different use cases to solve that she needed to go and buy or find out to research for us for this fictive family that she was representing. And we went to over 40 different Finnish organizations, companies, B2C companies during this research to find out. And I must say the results weren't that good, but I hope that since it's been already over a year that we when we do this same piece of research again that we'll get some better results from there. But we'll see certainly.
Then I
yeah
will be interested to hear about those, because that is
yeah
probably something that when it starts to spread, it might spread pretty fastly, but it
yeah
needs to kind of reach certain level and then it will start to spread.
coming back to the more basic level of things, what would be your one piece of advice for organizations that are just only, getting started with AI in CX?
I would suggest find a partner. So find a partner who has done several things in the area, and discuss with them. Find out what use cases would be useful for your company, in content that are have already in use in some other company, for example. Discuss with your peers. Find out if some of your peer companies or even some other companies that are not working the same branch are having similar needs than you are. So have peer networks, attend different events, get the information, and discuss with the companies that are already in this space, that are building the solutions and have proven track records that they are able to provide safe and sound solutions and are able to develop them further.
We are starting to approach the closing of this podcast interview, but I have a couple of questions for you still. Firstly, to crystallize what we have been discussing here, if our listeners remember just one idea from our conversation today, what would you like that to be?
Need-based development. Identify your need and develop based on that. There are a huge amount of solutions over here and there. So start with the need, and the technology will follow.
That's sound advice there. How do you personally stay up to date with AI developments, and what would be your recommendations for CX professionals who want to keep up with this terrible pace of AI development?
For me, it's probably easier than most, because I'm in a company that is really interested in these topics and is developing these different kind of solutions. So I hear this every day in the corridors and the coffee machine. I can't avoid it, and I love it. But on the other hand, there are very good events like the following taking place, and there is a lot of different interest groups around this. So. Just being curious, talking with people. You can always contact companies like ours to ask any questions. So there are so many people and companies that are interested in this area. So if you just kind of open your mind and ask questions, then there is a lot of people who can share and help.
Very good. And how can our listeners get in touch with you personally?
You
What's the
can
best
just
way?
e you can just email me anytime, marieeklund@dna.com. DNA.fi, sorry. I'm in LinkedIn, so that is also an easy channel.
Okay, we'll make sure to put those LinkedIn links underneath here. Mari, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. It's been really truly inspiring to hear what it really takes to build this artificial intelligence that serves people and not just processes, so to say.
Thank you. It was a really nice discussion.
To our listeners, thanks for tuning in again for the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. If you want to hear more from Mari, don't miss her talk at the CX Masterclass, available now at www.cxmasterclass.fi. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and as always, stay human. Thank you for tuning into the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. We hope today's conversation sparked new ideas and insights on your AI journey. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more discussions with leading experts in AI, customer experience, and innovation. Join us next time as we continue to explore the transformative power of artificial intelligence.